Okay, let's begin our discussion of Yerushalmi Shabbos Daf Mem Aleph in Perek Bameh Isha. We started Perek Bameh Isha yesterday, and we're talking about what a woman is allowed to walk out into a Rishus Harabim with and what not. And we said there are two issues. There's a Da'araisa issue, and that is if it's considered something extra, a masa, a burden, it's not something, it's not clothing, and it's not something to protect a basic protection of one's body, and it's not there as a tachshit, all of those would be okay. But if any of those are not fulfilled, so then it would be an issur daraisa. But the items in the Mishnah that we had yesterday are none of those, right? They're all within the parameters of a tachshit or basic protection. Most of them are tachshitim. And the issue is whether we're worried that the woman is going to take it off and show her friends, whether it's going to fall off and she might walk with it, somehow, an issur d'rabanan then, meaning midaraisa, there's nothing wrong, but we're gozer, we're nervous that she might come to do an issur d'rabanan by carrying it out after it comes off, after she takes it off, and that's why we are, gozer, right? So that was the, topic of the Mishnah, as we will see. So the Gemara says now where we are up to. Taman Taninan, right in the middle of Mem Amabes. Taman Taninan, we quote a Mishnah in Maseches Mikvaos. The Mishnah in Mikvaos tells us, the Gemara here only quotes the first half of the Mishnah. We have to know the second line of the Mishnah to understand the next line of the Gemara. But Taman Taninan, the Mishnah says at the beginning of the ninth parak of Maseches Mikvaos. Mikvaos, which has no Bavli or Yerushalmi on it, so we have to make sure that we study it well here. Taman Taninan, Elu Chotzin Ba'adam. The following items are Chotzets Ba'adam. We know Chatzitza is interposition. Tevila means that the water has to touch the entire part of the body. And if the water doesn't touch a part of the body, tevila, at one time, then the tevila is not good. Even midaraisa. Even if there is a little bit, there's a finger that stays out of the water by tevila, so the tevila is no good, right? There's a difference between tevila and hagala. Tevila has to be basachas. When a person is tovel, has to be at one time, though, everything under the water. Last night I was at Sakasha about toveling a pot, about kashering a pot. Kashering hagala, for example, if you're kashering it in hot water, does not have to be basachas. You could do half the pot and then turn it over and do the other half of the pot. But hagala does not have to be basachas. But tevila has to be basachas. And therefore, if there is some type of chatzitza, some type of interposition blocking the water from touching a part of the body, so then that would be not allowed. That would ruin the tevila. So that's why we have what's called chatzitza. Chatzitza is some type of interposition that blocks the water from touching the body. There are different levels of chatzitza. There are chatzitzas daraisa, chatzitzas darabanan, and chatzitzas mitam minhag. Remember the three levels that are discussed in the beginning of Yaradeya Kuf Tzadiches, where Hilchas Nida, that's where Chatzitza comes up, Lamaisa. Chatzitza Daraisa, if you remember, is Rubo Umakpid. Rubo Umakpid has to be covering the majority of the body, and I have to be Makpid that I don't always want it there. Right, so that's very unusual for Chatzitza to be Rubo Umakpid, if somebody is mostly covered in mud or wearing a bodysuit. Generally, people don't go to the mikvah like that. And therefore, that generally does not come up. But that's the level of daraisa. Level of drabanan, though, could come up. Level of drabanan is either or. Either or, rubo or makpid. Either of those is a chatzitza drabanan. And we try. Again, rubo doesn't come up often. But makpid could very much come up. Somebody's makpid. That's why, what does makpid mean? That's a big topic. If it's a makpid, if most people are makpid, if I'm makpid, we're generally makpid. Either way, if the classic case, the woman is makpid that when she would knead the dough, she would take off her rings because she doesn't want her rings to get full of dough. So that's called makpid. She's makpid to have it in certain circumstances. And therefore, that would be a case of rubo, not rubo, but a case of makpid. So that's what we need to remove. The minhag is to remove even miyacheno makpid. And that's the minhag quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Even covering a minority that was not makpid for, that's all the preparations that a woman does for a mikveh each month, to remove even miyat she'eno makpid. Any shilas that come up after the tevila, is generally in this area. And the rabbi who gets the shila tries to get it down to the minhag. because if it was just a, you found a chatzitza after the tefillah, but it's a miyachino makbid, then it doesn't have to be tovel again. So miyachino makbid, okay, there's a minhag to try to remove it even beforehand, but if not, it's okay. But if it's in the second category, miyotamakbid, that's more serious. That's more serious. So that's generally what the Rav tries to do to get it down to a miyachino makbid. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kofsali Chazin Yerodea, Sricha Shetitbol Kol Gufa Bepamachas. Tvila has to be the entire body at one time. Lefichach Tzarek Shalo Yehei Alea Shum Davar Achotzeitz. There shouldn't be anything that's chotzeitz on her body. V'yafil Kol Shehu. Even a tiny amount, even a tiny little cover on the body is a problem. V'yim Derech B'nei Adam Lefamim Lahakbid Alav. If the derech is for people once in a while to be makbid chotzeitz. Afilu eina makpedes alavata, even if she's not makpedes on now. Or afilu eina makpedes alavla olam, even if she's never makpid. Kivan she'll never take off her rings. But derech rov b'nei adam lahakpid alav chotzeitz. V'imuchofer rov aguf, afilu eina derech b'nei adam lahakpid baka chotzeitz. Rama, ulachadchila, lotitpol, afilu bedvarim she'inam chotzeitzin, gezeira atu dvarim hachotzeitzim. So that is the halacha. What is the first in this simin with 48 se'ifim? What is the first halacha quoted in Sif Beis? Ve'el drama chotazim. Chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan, ritzuos v'chulu. That's the mishnah that we're seeing right now. So now, the mishnah says in Mikvaos, in the beginning of the ninth parak, back to our Gemara. Tana Rabbana, Tama Taninan. Elu chotazim ba'adam, the following items are chotazim. Chutei tzemer, strands of wool, v'chutei pishtan, strands of linen, v'ritzuo shebarashi abanos, and the straps that the girls wear. And this is the Tanakhama. If you look in the Mishnah in Mikvos, there's another sheet that quoted, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shel tzemer v'shel tzeyar einam chotzitzim. Wool and hair, meaning if there are strands of hair that a woman, detached, that a woman puts into her hair, that's not chotzeitz. B'bnei shabayim boyin lahen, because the water could get in. Mayim boyin lahen. So that is the halacha. So the Tanakhama didn't say a word about chutei seyar, right? So the Gemara is wondering, the Tanakhama brought in chutei seyar, Rabbi Yehuda brought in chutei seyar. Rabbi Yehuda brought in shel tzemer. Tzemer is not chotzeitz. The chutei tzemer, the Tanakhama says, is chotzeitz. So tzemer, there's a machlokas about. But the seyar, Tanakhama didn't say a word about. So the Gemara says that really there's no machlokas about Seir. Shmuel brought it up, but there's no machlokas. Shmuel Amar, Rabbi Yehuda brought it up, but it's no machlokas. Shmuel Amar, less conscious Seir, al daiti Rabbi Yehuda. The Seir is not only in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, el shel tzemer. Tzemer is the one that's under machlokas. Hashel Seir, divrei akolin chotzin. But the hair, if there is strands of hair that are put into the woman's hair, so that's not chotzin according to anybody. Not just Rabbi Yehuda, but according to the Tanakhama too. The only machlokas there is Shel Tzemer. Why do we bring this up? Because we're going to talk a little bit about hair and chatzitz of hair. Why are we talking about this now? Because the Mishnah brought it up. Remember, the Mishnah brought it up that a woman has to remove anything in her hair in order to go to the mikvah, and that's why we don't allow the woman to go out with these on Shabbos, because she might take it off and then not put it back in before she goes outside. So, Rebbe Ba b'shem Rav Yehuda, Rebbe Zeira b'shem Rabbanan, Haisa nima achas, if there is one hair that is knotted on itself, chotzeitz, that's a chatzitza, that's a problem, because we assume that's very tight, and therefore water cannot get into the surface of the hair that's in the knot. So that's why it's a problem. Shtayim safik, if there are two hairs, what are two hairs? Let's say you have two hairs, and you wrap the two hairs on themselves. So that's a suffix, whether that's so tight that water can't get in, or there's still space. Shalosh in chotzos. But if there are, you take a three hairs and you wrap them together, so that would not be chotzos, because we assume that's loose enough for hair to get in. Rabbi Zeira asks, what if we're not talking about strands on itself, but connected to each other? Boy, kesher nima lachaverta. What if I have two hairs and I take two hairs and knot them together? So is that like one hair on itself? Ask the Gemara, achasi, is that like one hair on itself, which would be a problem, or not? Or the Gemara says, achas l'shtayim. If I take one hair and knot it to a multiple, like two hairs. I have one hair and I knot it with two other hairs. So is that going to be shtayim heim? Is that like knotting two hairs within themselves? And therefore that would be a safek? Or is it, no, it's still loose because there are three involved. L'shalosh, what if I take one hair and wrap it and knot it with three hairs? Again, three in one side, one on the other side, and you wrap them together. Shaloshein, is that called three and therefore it's allowed? Or do you say, and it's not a chatzitza, or do you say that it is still a problem because you have one on that side? So the Gemara has all these questions about hair. Gemara just continues and says, Rav Yehuda Amar, Zushi Yoredes Lefol Lidasa, the woman who goes down to go to the mikvah, Kosher Sarah, she's allowed to, I guess once she brushed out her hair, there's no knots, she's allowed to, Kosher Sarah Kizanavaso, she's allowed to tie the hair, maybe she wants to make sure that none of the hairs are above the water, so she can tie her hair like a horse's tail, like in one bun. The question is, how do you understand the next word? We'll go with one. Some read this as one sentence, like a horse's tail over that passes through the water. That's one way to read it. Or laovra, the way that other mafreshim read it is that this is a separate line, that laovra means, Rav Chaim Gadevsky says, it wasn't just a stam discussion in the base medrash that Rav Yehuda gave, but he said lamaisa. Laovra means like an uvda. It should be la'uvda, which switched the dalid with the resh. La'uvda, it was la'maisa, v'samech alai, and he says, be somech on this, and this is a la'maisa case. It wasn't just a theoretical case in the base medrash. Period. There is an interesting discussion, again, a lumdus, between the Rambam and the Gaonim. Again, the Rambam, we've said, often does not quote people, but often he quotes Gaonim. Rambam quotes the Rimigash once in a while, but who else does the Rambam quote? Very, very few earlier, even though the Rif was earlier. But very few. But anyway, the Rambam has a machlokes between himself and the Gaonim in Hilchas Mikvos. We just mentioned before that there's a difference between rov, majority, that's a rov, chatzitza daraisa is when there's rov. And that hardly ever comes, when is it ever going to come up that your body's going to be covered in mud, most of the 51% of your body? But it could be a case of rov. Why? Machlokes Rambam and Gaonim. When we say that there is chatzitza within hair, do you judge hair as a separate entity? And therefore, majority of hair would be called rov for Hilchas Chatzitza? Meaning it's looked at as separate from the rest of the body? Or no, hair is part of the body. And even if all your hair is knotted, that's still going to be called mir, because it's on the minority of the body. So that's a machlokas, Rambam and Gaonim. How do you look at hair? The Rambam says, Perak Beis Halacha Tezvav, V'saira Achash, and the Rambam first quotes all these halachas that we just said. Sarah Achash, Dik Shrach Otzetzes, V'ushei Machmed Aleha, Avalameinu Machmed Aleha, also La Tfila. Achete Rov, Sairo, Kashur, Nima Nima B'Fnei Atzma. Kazeh Horu Gaonim. The Gaonim say, if most of your hair is knotted, that's Rov. And that could be a Chatzitza D'Araisa. Says the Rambam, V'yir Ali, right? That always means my own opinion, not based on earlier sources, my own conviction. V'yirali shesairu shel adam kegufahu chashuv l'inyan tefila. No, the hair of a person is like his body. Why are you looking at it separately? V'eino keguf bifnei atzmo kedei shenomar rov haseyar. Ella no. Afal pi shekol seyar shelo rosho kashur nima nima. Even if his entire hair is knotted. Im eino machmed alav also lo tefila. If he's not machmed, Tefila could work daraisa. Elam kein nitzarif lachotzeitz acher al gufo. V'nimsa kol rov kugufo kimo shabi arnu. This is a machlokes, Rambam and Gaonim. And if you look in the Briska Rav, the Griz al Rambam, he talks about the lumdus. Why would you say that, the hair is looked at as separately? Why not? What's the machlokes about between the Rambam and the Gaonim? Okay. We continue. Says the, Gemara now. Back to Hilchos Shabbos. Kana shal rav, mao meifag bi'ilein tikaya. Can a woman go out with this tikaya, which is some type of material, some fabric in her hair? Is she allowed to go out with these? The Karbaneda says, sharsharos shel chutim agulos v'chalulos, some type of fabric. I mean, are we worried that she's going to take it off? Or is it considered basic clothing? Omar lo. So Rav answers, did we ever tell anybody that they can't go out with a belt? Of course not. Of course you can go out with a belt. So the same thing, Rav answers, that just like a woman would be careful, let's say even if she goes to the mikvah to get dressed again and put on her belt, so she'd also be careful of going to put on this tikaya, and therefore there is no worry about this item. Rav Huna hori leitze dereish galusa. Rav Huna paskind for the women, the wives of the reish galusa. Meitan livda, switch it, reish and dalid, didaba al kaflita. He allowed them to put these ribbons, these felt ribbons, on the kaflita, which is their kisui rosh. That was their head covering. He allowed it because he didn't think, like we said yesterday, he's not worried that they're going to take off their head covering in public or to go out without the head covering on. And these are connected to the head covering, and therefore there's no worry. Rabbi Yochanan hori le'ilein debase bone misna mitne. We'll read that as part of the name. Rabbi Yochanan paskin for the women of base bone mitne. Talia de Margalisa al Pargasta, also to hang these pearl items on the head covering, because of course all of these we assume are not going to be taken off, or it's a chashuv woman. The Bavli says isha chashuva, and she would not want to be seen without these on her head, and therefore it is all allowed. Rabbi Ila says, anything that is sewn in, that is attached to a part of your beged, of clothing, we don't assume is a problem. Because clothing is clothing, and anything attached to the clothing, we assume, is going to be worn. Vitaninan, and I'll prove it to you. The Mishnah says, as we will have later on, at Abem Zayin, Yotzehu bezugin shebeksuso, an avid could go out with a zug, a bell, biksuso, tied onto the clothing. Not one that hangs around his neck like a necklace. But what do you see from the first half of that Mishnah? He could go out with a zug, biksuso. That sounds like it's sewn in. So that sounds like it's a raya to Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila, who says anything sewn into your clothing is okay. Again, this has to do with what we're choshesh for the woman going out. But let's say, halacha l'maisa, let's say if somebody is going in a place without an eruv, what's called carrying, what's not called not gathering. Let's say a woman has a pin, as a decorative pin on her dress. Is she allowed to wear that in a place without an eruv? Is that called a masa or is that called no? Regular. And generally we're not worried bizman hazeh for removing things, because most of the time women aren't taken out, but there's a lot of shilas about what's called being worn, what's called not being worn. What about glasses? Okay, glasses are allowed to be worn because they're functional for the person using it. What about sunglasses on top of your head? That's more of a shiloh. That's a shiloh, right? Because you're not wearing it. Wear the sunglasses. Don't put it on your head. What if it's the style to have the sunglasses on top, right? So if that's the style, so it makes me look cool. What if some kind of special, company sunglasses? I want to be seen with that. That's a good shiloh, right? What if it's hanging on a person has the glasses that are on something hanging around on their neck, right? Hanging down. Again, that's not being worn. So all of these are important shilohs related to hotzah. Again, we have no idea about these shilohs because most of us grow up in places or live in places with a reuven, but it's serious shilohs that we have to know. Continues the Gemara. Once we're talking about these zugin, these bells, you're allowed to wear the bells, but another halacha related to the bells. Is tani tani ben ilo makabun toma. There's a brisa that says whether the bells are attached to the ksus or not, or on the tzavar, they are mekabel tuma. They're called a kli. Viz tani tani bein elu bein elu ein mekabel tuma. And another form of the brisa, both brises that has a brisa that says they're not mekabel tuma. No machlokas. Mandamar bein elu mekabel tuma. The one that says they are mekabel tuma. Bishas alehen ambuli. That's where it has a clapper inside the bell. There's that little thing that hangs down and it makes noise. Meaning if it's a bell that makes noise, that's called a kli. And therefore it's makabel tuma. Ugmanda mar bein elu ein makabel tuma bishloasa lamamboli. But if it's the brisa that says neither of them are makabel tuma, it doesn't matter if it's on the clothing or it's on the neck. That's a case where there is no clapper inside to make the noise, and therefore it's not called a kli and it's not makabel tuma. Says the Gemara, really? The chiluk is whether it has the thing inside. The afilu asalem aboli hu tahorin, right? Even if it has the clapper, yihu tahorin, it should be tahor, as will, it shouldn't be called a kli. Why? V'loki namar Rabbi Yevo Shimon ben Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't we learn in the following brisa, bezugin shebarisa? What if you have bells on a crib? Yeah, bells on a crib, so that the baby looks up and the baby could shake the bells and make some noise. One of those You know, we have, even today we have things on hanging on top of the crib. So what happened? The problem is, it's Shabbos and you want to move the crib. And there are these bells on the crib. So what do you do? So, Trein Amor and Chad Amar, one opinion says, Molochu Mevi, move it very carefully. And very slowly and very gently. Ubilvad Shalo Yashmi Esakol. Move it gently so that the bells don't make any noise. The Charana Amar and the other one says, Im Yashmi Esakol, if you had moved the crib, and I'm sorry, not move the crib. If the bells had been used before Shabbos, even just once, so then this is called a bell. And therefore, also you can't move it. You can't move it, the whole thing is muksa. And therefore it's off limits. But if it wasn't used as a bell yet, it wasn't designated yet in this way, so then it's not usur to move at all, and then mutter, then it will be mutter to move without making noise. But what do you see in this Havamina? It's hard to know what the Havamina is here, but the Havamina here is, but you see there's a function of the bell without it making noise, right? Because you're trying to move it without making any noise. So don't you see that the clapper inside shouldn't make a difference? Because, you know, whether even if it has a clapper, it's not there for, they have a purpose, even without producing sound. So clappers shouldn't give them a shame kli. Because you see, the making of the noise is not so critical. You see that we're moving the crib and we're not making noise with it. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? We're only moving it without making noise because it's Shabbos. And really, we wanted to make noise normally. Taman, oh, says the Gemara, over there by the crib. You're right. We don't want it to make noise on Shabbos. But on a weekday, it's a bell. And of course, a clapper inside the bell makes it much more worthwhile and functional and can give it a shame kli. Bram hacha, on the begadim, im ein asuyin lashmiya kol, lo b'chol v'lo b'shabbos, b'bnei ma asa lahem ambuli. But you're saying, oh, if there's a clapper put in, it doesn't make a difference. Why'd you put the clapper in if it's not meant to make any noise? Obviously, it's meant to make some noise. And therefore, there's no problem with saying that if it has a clapper, that gives it a shame clean, it's b'kabal tuma, and if not, not. When we think of bells on clothing, obviously we think of the Kohen Gadol. Think of the Kohen Gadol, ubavo, right, when he comes in, and all the Bali Musa that say, and what's the message? You realize every step you take is significant. Wherever you go, there are bells ringing, right? You might not hear those bells, but upstairs there are bells. You take a step. Remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the Bavli? Gemara in the Bavli says that Nebuchadnezzar, for taking four steps or three steps, I think it's different in the Gerso. So that's the three, before we take Shemona Esrei, take three steps up, three steps back. So the Gemara says there, Nebuchadnezzar, for taking three steps, L'kavod Hashem. Remember he came back and he was the scribe. And then he found out that they sent a letter to one of the kings of Yisrael, and they didn't say Hashem's name first. And he started running after the guy to say, well, no, you have to write Hashem's name first. And because of those three, that's why he was zochah to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. For those three steps. That's why we take three steps up, three steps back, as a tikkun for that. But every step is significant. Every step we take in every direction is significant. And that's noted by the bells. By the bells in, on the me'il, on the bottom of the me'il of the Kohen Gadol. Lo b'to tafos. The next item on the list in the Mishnah. A woman can't go out with totafos or sanbutin if they're not sewn in. If they're not sewn in. Rabbi Bun Barchia, what's totafos? Kopitira. Doesn't help us so much. Davar shehu nosin b'makam totafos. Some type of forehead covering that is put in the spot of totafos. What are totafos? Totafos beininacha. Makam atfilin. Right? That's why it's called totafos, because it is put in the same exact spot as the tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel rosh. Remember the Gemara in Brachas Dav Zayin in the Bavli, where the Gemara says, based on the pasuk in Kisavo, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'Yaro Mimeka, Elu Tefillin Shel Rosh. Right? This is the tefillin, the nation of the world will see, the tefillin on you. And they say the story of fill in the blank, the Gra, or the Shulchan Aruch Harav. I heard it b'shem the Gra, that, one time the enemy ran into the shul, and they were going to attack them, and the Gra looked at them, and they all got scared and ran out. And they said, what'd you do? Did you do some type of incantation? Did you do some type of... He's like, no, it's a Gemara in Brachas. Right? Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha V'Yarmi Mecha. They see your tefillin shel rosh and they'll fear you and they'll run out. Eilu tefillin shel rosh. And they say, Rebbe, we're also wearing tefillin. We're also wearing tefillin. And the Gemara said, no, you're not reading the Gemara properly. Amar Abelazar, Eilu tefillin shebir rosh. Doesn't say Eilu tefillin she'al harosh. Eilu tefillin shebir rosh. Tefillin can't stay on your head. It's got to seep in. The message of the tefillin, you got to live your life as a tefillin person. Eilu tefillin shebirosh, the Gemara says. And that's what the Gra was teaching them. But that's the tefillin shel rosh, totafos. Follow up with sanbutin, some types of ribbons. You can't go out with these sanbutin, tsovin, tosvan, some colored strands that hang down. Follow up a kavul. Kavul is the next item in the Mishnah. It's a, we said, a little type of cap that you put under the head covering. And the Mishnah is saying that maybe we're nervous that a woman's going to slide out the cap from under her head covering in order to show her friend. V'lo b'kavol, schusa, a type of decorative cap. Tani, Reb Shimon Elazar matar. Reb Shimon Elazar is not worried about removing the cap from under the head covering. Reb Acha, Reb Shem Kana, Asya, Reb Shimon Elazar, Karebi. Reb Shimon Elazar must hold like Rebbe. Reb Shimon Elazar, who matters the cap here, must hold like Rebbe later on. Kamad, Rebbe, Amar. Just like Rebbe says later on, anything that's hidden, we're not nervous that it's going to be removed. What's hidden later on, hey, we talk about false teeth that are removable. You're allowed to go out with false teeth that are removable. So we're not worried that somebody's going to take that out. So just like there, Rebbe says that it is hidden and therefore it's allowed. Kain, Reb Shimon Elazar, Omer, Davar Shutaman Mutter. So here too, the cap is Mutter underneath. Period. The Gemara says, by the way, Tachshin Lamehina Surin. We should have had this in the first line of the parak. But why, if it's a tachshit, why is it asur in all these cases to wear them outside? Amrebi ba, al yedei shahanashim shachsonios. The women are a little boastful and want to show their jewelry and all their things to their friends. Vihi matarasan laharosan lachaverta. And she unties it to show to her friend. Vishrecha. And then she forgets it Shabbos. So malachim ben dalanamos. Arba'amos, and she walks dalaramos with it. The Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam quoted in all the Rishonim in the beginning of this parak, Nun Zayin and Shabbos, say, Mistama, all these halachas only apply to women's jewelry. Because the Gemara says, women are the shachtonios. But the men don't care as much as how they look. So, you know, they're wearing whatever they're wearing, and we're not worried that they're gonna take it off. I'm reading from the Ramban and the Ritva, Shabbos Nun Zayin. We don't think the one man's going to be so machbid and want to show everyone what he's wearing. Period. Tani Rav Tachlifa ben Shaul. New section. Tachshitin also l'shalchan. Tachshitin, the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Beitza, there are certain items we know on Yantif you're allowed to do hotzah. There's no issues of hotzah on Yantif as long as there's a tzarech. Right? Vedoch shehutz lo tzarech, hutra shelo litzarech. But we paskin that's to be some tzarech. Mutter shelo litzarech achol nefesh, but that's to be a tzarech of Yantif. So you're not allowed to be carry something out if there's no tzarech. So Rav Chalad ben Shaul says tachshitin also l'shalchan. You can't send tachshitin on Yantif. Why? Because the Pnei Moshe says it's a certain type of tachshitin that are not going to be worn, right? It's a hotzah shalol tzarech. These tachshitin can't be worn for various reasons. Maybe the Rav Chaim Gnevsky here says gozer certain tachshitin on Yantiv gozer atu Shabbos, right? You can't wear tachshitin on Shabbos, therefore tachshitin on Yantiv. Therefore, there's no use on Yantiv. You can't send them because there's shalol tzarech on Yantiv. Amr Rabbi Mina lo Amr elo lo shalchan. No. Rabbi Mina says the only issue is sending them. Lelavshan mutter. But you can wear them. Who says there's a type of zera of Yantif Atu Shabbos? You can wear them. Tani, and I'll prove to you that you can wear them. Because the Mishnah says, the following Mishnah says that they're not muksa. Metaltanas HaShofer, look at this, the Brisa. The Brisa says, examples of a kli shemalachto le'isser. Something that is usually used for an isser, but if you want to use it, l'sarach gufa, l'sarach makomo, then you're allowed to move it on Yantif or on Shabbos. Matadan is a shofar lash goes post a tinok. You can take a shofar to pour water in to give to a tinok. There's a pin case or a notebook, which is usually used for writing. There's a karkash or a rattle. There's a mare or a mirror or a mirror. A mirror, in the days of old had pointy edges and they used to use it sometimes to shave with. You see a little piece sticking out, so you go to the edge of the mirror and you cut. Right? So it's also like a klisha malachto l'isser, l'chasas ben a kalim. You can use any of these to cover kalim. Meaning you can use these kalim that are usually l'isser. You can use them for mutter purposes. So too, Rebbe Mina is quoting this to say, so too by clothing. Even if clothing would not be able to be worn out, but they're not totally not usable on Yantif, and therefore it's allowed. Amr Rebbe Bun, masnisa amr kein. Rebbe Bun says, no! The Mishnah in Beitza tells me, sha'asa lo lovshan. The Mishnah Beitza says he can't wear them. Why? The Tanina, because the Mishnah says, kol shenei osin bo b'yantif mishalchan oso. If you could get full hana and pleasure from it on Yantif, you could send it. Im omar at mut shemutu lo lovshan, yimutu lo shalchan. What do you mean? If you could wear it, why wouldn't you be able to send it? So don't tell me you're saying, oh, it's also to send, but it's supposed to wear. No, it's also to send. That means it's also to wear. says Rabbi Bun. Uma hada, Rabbi Bun continues, and what about that brisa about the klishim akdol iser? Uma hada detani metaldanas hashover lashkoz zatino vezakarka shazamara lachasubanas akelim, right? Is this worse? Is this jewelry worse than any of the kalim that could be used? Says Rabbi Bun, yes, it is worse. Why? V'sheish alayim toar kli. All of those have the status of a utensil, have a kli. It's a shofar, it's a notebook, it's a rattle that has a kli. But jewelry, tachshid, is not a kli. And that's why it's worse. And therefore, I think, says Rabbi Bun, that you can't send it on Yontif because you can't wear it on Yontif. Period. So that is a little discussion. Again, we have to get back to that in Beitza Sugyas. A little bit more. Ad kanun tachshitin shalzav. We've been talking about golden tachshitin. That's the worry that the woman's going to take off and show her friends. What about lower level tachshitin? Afil tachshitin shal kesef? What about silver? Amrim b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah aser. Amrim b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah mutter. Two versions of what Rabbi Yirmiyah held. How do you have two versions of what Rabbi Yirmiyah held? What did Rabbi Yirmiyah hold? So Amrim Chizkiyah. I know the whole story. That's a great lashon. We got to start using that. Reisha v'seifa. I know the whole story beginning to end. I'll tell you exactly what happened, why it was so unclear, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Anoya the Reisha v'seifa. Talyan tekikin, there were these young girls, havin misrabian bedartid Rabbi Yirmiyah. There were these young girls that were grown up in Rabbi Yirmiyah's neighborhood, and they used to wear these silver tachshitin. Asa v'shalar b'zeira. And he went to Rabbi Zeira and says, should I tell him to stop? Should I not tell him to stop? What should I do? Amarlei, Reb Zeira answered, lo teisa v'lo tishrei. Don't say anything. Don't aser, don't matir. Right, so what does that mean? So different pshatim in the Gemara. Maybe they weren't sure. They weren't sure, so, you know, shave al tasa adif. Or they were sure, but they knew these girls wouldn't listen anyway. Right, so therefore, mutav shei shogigin. For whatever reason, Rabbi Yirmiyah didn't say a word. But because he didn't say a word, there were different understandings. He didn't say a word because it was mutter. He didn't say a word because it was aser, and he thought they wanted to listen anyway. That's why there were different versions of what Rabbi Yirmiyah held, because he didn't say anything. One more line. Ein ro'en mara b'shabbos. One can't look at a mirror into a mirror on Shabbos. Why? As we just said, the mirrors of old have these pointy edges, and therefore I might be looking in the mirror and see an extra hair and quickly, without thinking, you know, go to the edge and cut it. I'm not worried I'm going to go get a scissors. By that time I'm going to remember. But ain't Rowan Mara Bashabis. Im Isa Kvua Bakosel, if it's attached to the wall, Rebbe Matavechem Ostrim. Rebbe says that's allowed. Why? Because maybe to do the cutting you have to like move the mirror a little bit. But if it's attached and stationary, you're not moving the mirror. And therefore, maybe there's no chash. The Chachamim Asr, the Chachamim say it's Asr anyway. Why? Because the Chachamim say it's not just about the corner of the mirror. Rabbi Acha, b'shem Rabbi Ba, taima da dein da asar, pamim she yiro anima achas levana. One time, she might see one white hair amongst her black hairs, and she'll be so upset, she needs to get it out. V'yitolasha, she'll rip it out with her hands. Forget the mirror. V'hi ba l'di chiyav chatas. Right, and therefore there's a chiyav chatas. Interesting, is that a daraisa, to rip it out with your hands, not with the scissors? Maybe it's normal to rip out one hair, white amongst many. But either way, the issue is just ripping out one. And that's a regular mirror. That's a regular mirror, right? Not just a pointy mirror. Pira. Next time we'll have to talk about, what about men looking in a mirror? That comes up next. That's the next line of the Gemara, which we'll have to talk about, by Hashem, next time. Okay, we'll stop here.